Second Chronicles chapter 24, and I want everyone to turn there and follow along as we read, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites, and said to them, Go out into the cities of Judah, and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment they made a chest, and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to do such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow this morning, we again, Lord, say thank you. Thank you, God, for ministering to our hearts already today. Lord, through the Sunday school hour, Lord, through the worship hour thus far, God, thank you, God, for ministering to our hearts. Now, Lord, for a few minutes, I pray that, God, our hearts and our minds would be open unto the very words of our God. Lord, that our hearts, Lord, would be challenged this morning. And Father, that we would do according to that which we should do before God. I thank you, dear Lord, for each one here. I pray, Father, if there's one in our midst today who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that God, today will be the day they will be saved. Lord, I pray today you would encourage your people. We thank you now, Lord, for all that's accomplished and all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning by the help of God this message that the Lord has really been dealing with my heart about in these days. And I want to preach on this thought, the story of a king and his chest. The story of a king and his chest. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, we find a story that shows us how that all of us could be a friend to the ministry of the church, a partner in the goals of our church, and a helper in the accomplishments of our church. It is the story of a king and his chest. It's an interesting story as you read it and think about it, but it is also an inspiring story, and it is also an instructive story. Now, it is a story that speaks of a king and his walk with God. Joash, the Bible tells us, was only 7 years old when he became king, when he began to reign, and his reign would extend over the course of 40 years. During his reign, he would be a king that was, for the most part, honored and revered because he honored and revered God. His testimony is found in verse number 2, where the Bible said, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." What a testimony from a young man that's 7 years old and reigned as king for 40 years. And the testimony that he had was that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Now the word right speaks of that which was well-pleasing, righteous, just, and upright. The psalmist declared, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Joash was a king that exemplified such devotion to God, and for such devotion prospered in all his ways. It's not only a story about a young man who walked with God, but here's also a story that speaks of a king and his work for God. During his reign, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 4 tells us that he was minded to repair the house of the Lord. The trademark of his reign would be the restoration of the house of the Lord to its former grandeur and glory. It was this work that he did for God, which he would be remembered in the chronicles of Jewish history. The heart and soul of this story of the king revolves around a chest. The story of the king and his chest is one of giving. It is one that of the great examples of giving in the Bible. And as king, notice this, as king, Joash brought to the attention of God's people a need, and they responded and gave that the need might be met, both in attitude and action. We see an example of how God's people are to view and value their giving. I read about these two fellows that were stranded on an island. One was worried sick that they would never be found and they would die on this island. The other one, he was calm and didn't seem to worry about nothing. He never expressed any worry whatsoever. The worried man looked at him and said, "How can you be so calm?" He said, "Don't you realize that there's a possibility that we will never be found and we're going to die on this island?" The calm man said, "I'm not the least bit worried." He said, "I give $1,000 a week to my church and I know my preacher's going to find me." Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, amen. I want you to know. And so he said, I'm not the least bit worried. And I'm sure that probably some members of our church may feel the same way about me. But I want us today to focus in on this story. And I want us to see some truths that help me and I believe would help us all to better worship God and work the will of God in our lives. And hopefully that maybe this will be a regular on our church calendar. So I want you to really pray, but I want you to notice the story of a king and his chest. Now, just so happens I have a chest here this morning to kind of give a little visual illustration of what this story is all about. Now, I know the chest is important, but it's not so much the chest, and it's not so much the people, and it's not so much the giving, but it's the attitude from their life and for whom they did what they did. Now, that's what we need to see this morning. Amen. Now, first of all, I want you to notice in this story the motive of their giving. I once read the story about some vandals that had cut down six royal palms along Miami's Flagler Street. Since the palms were so expensive, Dade County authorities were not sure if they could or even wanted to replace them. But then someone donated six new palms and even had them planted. Well, the old palm trees were about 15 feet tall and provided a nice foreground for a billboard with a Delta Airlines advertisement on it. Well, the new palms were 25 feet high and completely hid the billboard. The new donors was Eastern Airlines. Amen right there. Now, there's sometimes a lot of selfish motives in the things that people do. But, beloved, we look at the story of the king, Joash, and his chest. We find a proper and an honorable motive for giving. What was the motive for their giving? Number one, notice first we see the deplorable condition of the house of God. And verse number 5 tells us, and he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God. Now the house of God was in a deplorable condition and needed repairing. In verse 7 gives us the explanation why it was in such a condition. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God. And also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab, and I know you remember that name, Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And when her husband died, she was the wife of King Jehoram. And when Jehoram died, she placed herself on the throne. Her sons became her emissaries to carry out her wicked, evil desires. And among them was ransacking and the pillaging of the temple, leaving it in shambles. Now, how many years the temple went in that condition, we're not sure of. But regardless, the condition of the temple was a national travesty and a spiritual tragedy. The temple had been built for the glory of God and was the earthly structure that bore the name of Almighty God. Its deplorable condition was a national desecration and a spiritual disgrace. How degrading it was that God, that his house was in such a state. How displeasing to God that his house remained in this condition. On another occasion, the Bible says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's found in Haggai 1, verses 3 through 5. The word sealed literally means wainscoted. The people were living in nice houses, wainscoted with nice wood, but the Lord's house was nothing but a dump. the condition of God's house troubled the heart of Joash. He looked around at his nice house and he thought about the condition of God's house. He knew it was time to consider his ways and do something about this condition of the house of God. Let me say this morning, beyond and without apology, I believe that God deserves the very best that we can give him. Amen. His house ought to be respected. His house ought to be relished. His house should be revered. Someone says that the church is not the building, but the people. I agree with that statement. But nonetheless, these buildings on this property were built for God and given to God. Amen. And they stand in this community as a testimony to the God of heaven. Amen. And that's the reason it's so important. And if we love his house, we will strive to make and to keep it a place that brings honor and glory unto him, praise God. Now, as we continue looking at the story, we see that Joash went to work to change the condition of God's house. We not only see a deplorable condition of the house of God, but secondly, notice the delightful restoration of the house of God. Joash saw that the house needed repairing. And we read in verse 4 that he called for the Levites and priests to gather money to repair the house of God. We also see the house of God needed refinishing. In verse 13, the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them. That word means restored and refinished. Amen. And not only that, but also the house of God needed refurbishing. Verse 14 says that they made vessels for the house of the Lord, vessels to minister, to offer withal, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. The sacred vessels had been carried out of the temple by the sons of Athaliah and used in the worship and the service of Balaam. And Joash saw that they needed new vessels for the house of God to be made and consecrated unto the Lord. Amen. I like what verse 13 says. The Bible said, they set the house of God in his state. Now notice carefully, they set the house of God in his state. They restored the temple to a condition that was fitting for God and honorable to him. Once again, the temple was a fitting tribute to the God who dwelt there, amen, and a fitting testimony to the God that the temple represented. Listen, when you see the people giving, they were motivated by the need to repair, refinish, refurbish the house of God. They were motivated to give God what he desired and also what he deserved. I submit to you this morning that this great motive for giving, giving should always be motivated by the desire to glorify God and magnify his name. I want to repeat that. I think it's important. I think my giving and your giving should always be motivated by the desire to glorify God and magnify his name. Amen. We should give because we love the Lord and his house. If we love God, we will give. It's as simple as that. It has been said that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Say amen right there. But not only see the king and his chest, the motive for their giving, but secondly, the measure of their giving. I'm hurrying through this. We not only see a wonderful motive of giving, but a measure also of giving. Joash called for the Levites and priests to gather of all Israel money, verse 4, and to take a collection in verse number 6. The example of giving we see in this story is very instructive as well as inspiring. Well, notice, how did they give? When they were told or asked to give, how did they give? Number 1, they gave obediently. Verse number 6, we read that the collection that was to be taken was according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Giving to God's house was a command that they had received from the Lord through his servant Moses. When we see them giving, they are giving in obedience to the command that God had given unto them. I don't guess there's anything that a preacher can do that disturbs people any more than to talk about money. amen, and talk about giving. But let me tell you something this morning. I'm sure that there's people that say, all that preacher talks about is giving. Well, I might plead guilty to that. Maybe not guilty about talking about how we should understand that giving is a command of God. Amen. It's a command of God. It's all about God commanding his people to give. And when it comes to our giving, we are being obedient to God's command when we do that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now I find it very interesting this morning that the word collection used by Paul is a word that has its root meaning in this, to say something. Now listen to me, to say something. Our giving says something, amen, about us. It says something about our love for souls. It says something about our love for the work of God. It says something about our love for God, amen. It says something about how seriously we take the commands of God and whether or not we are obedient, amen, to the word of God. You cannot tell me that you are an obedient Christian and not give what God has told you to give. You can't do it, amen. Not only did they give obediently, secondly, they gave collectively. Collectively. Verse 6 says that they were to gather money of all Israel. Verse 10, we read, and all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in. Now, you see that little word all there? That little word all says all the princes and all the people. Do you, anybody here know what the word all means in Hebrew? It means all. That's exactly what it means, amen. It means everybody, everyone brought money. Every person gave something. Now, I'm sure there were some that were able to give a lot. There were some who were just able to give a little. But listen, the thing about it was all of them gave, amen. Everyone gave. Now, I don't have time to go through all this morning, but the statistics about giving is very pitiful when it comes to the work of God. I mean, it is sad. Most of the work that is done in the house of God is given by 18% of the people. Amen. That means 72% or 82% of the people don't give to the work of God. Now, that's sad. Amen. That is a sad, sad statistic. It should be that 100% of all of God's people are giving to the work of God. That should be what it should be. Amen. They not only gave obediently, they gave collectively. But here's what I like. They gave cheerfully. Now, as soon as some of y'all heard me reading about giving, you saw the chest, you heard me talk about giving, you cut me off, you've done got mad, you are already ready to leave. I got news for you. We're not getting out at 12 today because it's already after 12. And if you don't be careful, we won't even get out at 12:30. But I'm telling you this morning, dear friend, that we ought to give like they did, and they gave cheerfully. Amen. I like the way they did this. Look at it. I'm trying to hurry. Y'all gonna have to listen quick this morning. The Bible says that they gave cheerfully. Amen. The Bible said there that they, all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in. They started shouting. They got excited. They were happy to give, and they brought in what the Lord had told them to do. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. As we look at this example of giving, we find the people giving cheerfully. Verse 10 said they all rejoiced. The people rejoiced. Amen. In other words, it literally means to brighten up or to make merry. Amen. They did not complain because Joash had asked them to give. They were not grumbling or fussing because they were asked to give. Hey, it made their day when they were asked to give. They rejoiced when they were asked to give and they had the opportunity to give. Amen. There's an old Methodist preacher of bygone days by the name of Sam Jones. Sam Jones said, if you want to know how mean a man is, go at him with the offering plate. Say amen right there. Amen. I once read this story. Now, listen, this is important right here. I read about this church treasurer who came to the pastor after a member of the church was very upset about how much money had been spent on toilet paper and in the church. And the pastor asked, well, how much money did we spend on toilet paper? She said, $47. And the pastor said, is that all? What's he so upset about? The treasurer said, how would you feel if everything you've given the last 2 years bought toilet paper? Woo! Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, I'd be upset too. Amen. Oh, my. Isn't that amazing, huh? But listen, there was no complaining. There was no getting mad on the part of the people in our story. They rejoiced when they gave. Furthermore, we see they gave obediently, collectively, cheerfully, and here they gave liberally. Verse 11 says, they gave that there was much money that was given by the people, and they gathered money in abundance. Verse 12 tells about how they hired the masons, the carpenters, the iron and the brass workers to do the work that was needed on the temple. Verse 14, we read about how they had enough money left over to make new vessels for the temple. Listen, friend, they were a crowd that was liberal in their giving. Amen. I read this story. I'm going to share this with you, and we're hurrying. I read about this man that was in the hospital because he had a heart attack. And while in the hospital, his wife was informed that her husband, had just inherited $15 million. And his wife was concerned that if she went and told him that, he would probably have another heart attack and die. And if that had been most women, y'all would have been running in with the ticket. Say amen right there. But anyhow, so she went to the pastor. She said, Pastor, I'm scared to death. She said, I'm afraid if I go in there and tell him that he's inherited $15 million, he's going to have another heart attack. He's going to die. And I think maybe if you tell him, maybe he'll be all right. So he agreed, said, I'll go in. So the pastor went to visit the man, and they talked about different things, you know, just catching up on the past and how things were going. And the pastor finally, he said, I want to tell you. He said, I'll ask you a question. I heard about this fellow who inherited $15 million. And he said, that would be great if it happened to one of us, wouldn't it? And that guy said, yeah, I guess it would be. And he said, the preacher asked him, well, what would you do if you were that fellow? The patient said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'd probably keep $5 million for myself. He said, I'd probably give $5 million to my children, and I'd give $5 million to my church. The pastor had a heart attack. Say amen right there. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Oh my, not only they gave liberally, but then last of all, say amen, last of all, there's the method of their giving. Now I have seen various methods of receiving offerings over the years, as I know Brother Dwayne has, and all of you have probably seen various methods. You've seen very fancy offering plates, and we've seen plates made out of wood, plates made out of brass, and all kinds of offering plates. I've seen them shaped like a little bag or a pouch, had a round piece of wood to top with a bag on the end of it, you know, and they carry around the bag, had a handle on it, and they would put the money in that bag. Then I've seen Kentucky Fried Chicken offering plates. Amen. Praise God, a bucket full. Amen. I've seen all kinds of offering plates that you could just imagine, but for me this morning, what Joash did was a very unique way in receiving an offering. Amen. Notice, first of all, the provision of a chest. In verse number 8, the Bible said, in the king's command, they made a chest. Now, the word chest in the Bible, in other times of the Bible, is translated an ark or a coffin. It was no doubt probably a square box made of wood. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9, that Joash took a chest. He took the chest. They had made that wooden chest. And when they took and made that chest, he drilled a hole in the top of it, made a hole in it. And that way, and then they took that chest. And so there's the chest. Joash has had it made. He's put a hole in the top of it. Now, that is the offering plate, amen, a chest. Now, notice what happens. There's the placement of the chest. In verse 10, it says that Joash set it without the gate of the house of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9 says that Joash set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. He set this chest next to the altar that's sitting just outside the entrance into the house of the Lord. Amen. Verse 10 says that the people brought their money and cast into the chest. Person after person, every man, woman, and child walked by the chest and placed their offering into the chest. In verse number 11, we read, thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. Because of the number of people, no doubt it took several days for everybody to walk by this chest and to put their money in. Now, motivated by their love for God and His house, the people placed their money in the chest obediently, collectively, cheerfully, and liberally. In the same fashion, that's what we need to do as God asks us to give unto Him. Amen. Now, this is what we want to think about this morning, and I'm going to close. If you'll give me 5 minutes, I'm going to try to close in 5 minutes. Now, I'm serious. This is serious this morning. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about our missions program. Next Sunday, we will have our missions conference start. We'll go through Wednesday night. And then on Old Fashioned Day, we will take up our faith promise for the coming year. Now, a few weeks ago, I showed you a chart about our missions giving of this past year. Well, it ended on the last Sunday of October, and it started over again the first Sunday today in November for this coming year. Now, I told you about the need. I'm trying to hurry. The need for our missions program. This is just our missions program to meet the basic needs of our missionaries is $23,490 per year. And we broke that down to how much it would take per week, $460 a week, and that is what it takes to, in an average, to keep our mission program going. Now listen, now what we have collected from last year until last Sunday for 1 year, we collected $17,606.43. Now, that gives us a shortfall of $5,883.57. That's just our missions budget. And what the church had to do was take out of the general budget to fix and to keep the mission budget going, which has almost depleted the general fund. Now, listen to me. I believe this morning, of course, next Sunday or the Sunday after our missions conference, we will see what our missions giving is going to be, and we may have to adjust some things unless God's people step up. Now, I showed you not long ago how simple, how easy it would be for us to continue at our present rate in just a few cents a day of each one of us. Now, I've got some offering plates, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm closing with this. I've got these offering envelopes, and I want everybody in this building today to take one. I'm going to have my usher standing outside as we all leave. So don't nobody go out the back door. We'll stop your car on the way out and, amen, throw them at you. But no, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, I want everybody to take one of these offering envelopes. It says Thanksgiving Offering, Chest of Joash. It's got a picture of a little chest on it. It's got the scriptures, two of the scriptures I read to you this morning from the story about the chest of Joash. Now, beloved, I believe with all of my heart that we can make up the deficit that has been brought this past year and put that money back in our general fund. And then the next week when we begin our Faith Promise missions, we need to really pray about it. Listen, we support 58 missionaries right now. I don't want to drop any of our missionaries. I mean, we got 57. One just came home from the field, the Connor family. They come home from Paraguay. They're not going back. So we got 57 missionaries. And I don't want us to drop any missionaries. Because our ministry is not just at Victory Baptist Church. Our ministry is worldwide. Everything that you do here at Victory Baptist Churches, it's given to those missionaries. And they go out into all the world where we cannot go. Thank God it's being accounted for your work and your faithfulness and your love for the Lord Jesus right here at home. And while we're going out with those, we're also supposed to be winning our people here at home. And so this morning, we need to think about the story about Joash. Joash saw a need. That's all I'm asking you this morning. Can you see a need? I mean, listen, and if anybody's got any questions about anything, all you've got to do is come to me. I will sit down. I will show you everything. You say, well, what in the world's going with all the money? Hey, what happens to all your money when you get paid? Y'all notice how things is going up? I think our power bill here last month was over $1,400. And wintertime ain't even got here yet. Ain't that a blessing? I guarantee we'll hit a $2,000 power bill when it's the dead of winter this year. Everything's going out of sight. I'm telling you. And we can't keep giving dollar bills. George is a thing of the past, friend. We're still giving dollars like it was when we was in the 50s and 60s. Y'all are like I am when I send Debbie to the store. I send Debbie to the store, ask her to buy a grocery $50. Guess what? You can't do that anymore. This church, any other church, can't operate on George Washington no more. But if everybody would do like those people did in the Word of God, what do we do? We know the command of God, give. We know what we're supposed to give. If God blessed you with a job and you're working and you get a check every week, 10% of it ought to go to the house of God. Go right to the Lord's work. Then an offering, then missions. Amen. Everybody do like this. If you can't say it, just nod. It'll help you. But what I'm saying is we've got to see the need. We've got to get under the burden. We've got to see the very, very need of everything. Can you imagine? Here's Joash, 7 years old, little 7-year-old boy, a year older than my grandson, Caleb, becomes king. And then in a little while, he begins to see, hey, you know, the house of God's not like it's supposed to be. And he begins to go to work. And all he does, he asks the people to do what God had already told him to do. I'm not asking you to do any more than God has already asked you to do. I'm just asking us to do what God has already told us to do. This morning, the chest of Joash, and what we're going to do, I want you, everybody, to, as you leave this morning, to get one of those, I've done lost them. Devil's hiding them from you, ain't he? But as you leave this morning, I want everybody to get one. Everybody. Man, woman, boy, girl, child, I don't care how old they are. When they gave in this chest, everybody gave. Everybody gave. You know how you can teach your children to give? Give them something and say, give it to the church. Teach them.